Welcome to your IGCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful, thought-provoking plays on your EdXL specification, Death in the King's Horseman by Wol Soyinka. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need, the key themes, the characters, the language techniques, and the exam tips that will help you earn top marks. So let's get started. First, a quick overview. Death in the King's Horseman was written by Wol Soyinka, a Nigerian playwright, poet, and Nobel Prize laureate. It was first performed in 1975 and is set in colonial Nigeria in 1943 during the Second World War. The play is based on a real historical event, the British colonial authorities' intervention in a Yoruba ritual in which the King's Horseman, a man called Ellison Oba, was required to die by ritual suicide following the death of the Olofin, the Yoruba king. His death was believed to be essential to guide the king's spirit safely into the afterlife and to maintain the cosmic balance between the living and the dead. Now, Soyinka himself was very clear in his author's note. He did not want this play to be read as a simple clash of culture story. He called that a facile interpretation. Instead, he wanted audiences to focus on the internal tragedy of Ellison, a man who at the crucial moment fails in his duty. The colonial interference is the catalyst, but the real tragedy is Ellison's own weakness. Keep that in mind as you analyze the play, because examiners will credit candidates who demonstrate this nuanced understanding. Let's move into the core concepts. The play has five acts, and understanding the structure is important for your analysis. Act one opens in the market. We meet Ellison Oba, the king's horseman, in a celebratory mood. He is surrounded by the market women and his praise singer. He is charismatic, eloquent, and deeply embedded in Yoruba tradition. He speaks of his impending death, not with fear, but with joy. It is his honor, his destiny, his duty. The famous Not-Eye Bird speech is here, where Ellison describes how death came to others and they all refused, but he will not refuse. This speech is crucial. It establishes Ellison as a man of honor and tradition, but it also, on closer reading, reveals a man who loves life, perhaps a little too much. He asks to spend one last night with a young bride, a woman already promised to another man's son. Iolaja, the leader of the market women, reluctantly agrees, warning him not to let desire weaken his resolve. Act 2 shifts to the colonial world. We meet Simon Pilkings, the British district officer, and his wife Jane. They are preparing for a fancy dress ball at the residency, and they are wearing Igungun costumes, sacred Yoruba masquerade outfits, as fancy dress. This is a deeply offensive act in Yoruba culture, and Soyinka uses it to show the colonial character's profound ignorance and disrespect. Sergeant Amusa, a Yoruba man working for the British, refuses to even speak to Pilkings while he is wearing the sacred costume. Pilkings receives word of Ellison's planned ritual death and decides to intervene, not out of cultural understanding, but because he sees it as a crime, a murder. Act 3 returns to the market. The women prepare Ellison for his transition. The praise singer urges him on, but there is a sense of hesitation. Ellison lingers. He has married the young bride and spent the night with her. His will is weakening. Act 4 is set at the residency ball. Alundi, Ellison's son, arrives unexpectedly. He has been studying medicine in England and has returned, not knowing his father has been arrested, to perform the funeral rites. His arrival is one of the play's most dramatic moments. He encounters Jane Pilkings and speaks with remarkable composure and dignity about his father's duty and the Yoruba worldview. He says, "I discovered richer things." He has reconciled his Western education with his Yoruba identity. Then Ellison is brought in chains, having been arrested by Pilkings. Olund sees his father, alive, shamed, having failed in his duty. He turns away from him, disowning him. Act 5 is the devastating conclusion. Ellison is imprisoned. The young bride he married is pregnant with his child. Olunde, in an act of profound sacrifice, has taken his own life, completing the ritual death his father could not. When Ellison learns of this, he is overcome with shame and grief. He strangles himself with his chains. Iolaja arrives with Olunde's covered body. She delivers the play's final, devastating lines to Ellison's corpse, telling him that his son has done what he could not, and that the world is now out of balance. Now let's talk about the major themes in depth, because this is where your marks are earned. The first and most important theme is duty and sacrifice. In Yoruba cosmology, the world is divided into three realms: the living, the dead, and the unborn. These realms must remain in balance, and it is the duty of certain individuals, like Ellison, to maintain that balance through ritual. Ellison's death is not suicide in the Western sense. It is a sacred transition, a cosmic responsibility. Soyinka presents this worldview with complete seriousness and respect. He does not ask us to judge it by Western standards. When Ellison fails, the consequences are catastrophic, not just for him, but for the entire community. Olunda's sacrifice at the end is the ultimate act of duty, a son doing what his father could not. Key quotes for this theme. Ellison says, "My will was groomed for the passage." This shows his initial commitment to his duty. The priest singer says, "Ellison, we place the reins of the world in your hands, yet you watched it plunge over the edge of the bitter precipice." This is a devastating indictment of Ellison's failure. And Eologia's final words, "Now forget the dead, forget even the living. Turn your mind only to the unborn." Remind us that Ellison's failure has consequences for future generations. The second major theme is colonialism and cultural clash. Pilkings represents the colonial power that cannot or will not understand Yoruba culture. He sees the ritual death as a crime, a primitive act that must be stopped. But Soyinka shows us that Pilkings's intervention is itself an act of violence, a disruption of a sacred order that the British have no right to interfere with. The Igungun costumes are a powerful symbol of this. Pilkings treats sacred objects as entertainment, as costume, as something trivial. Soyinka uses dramatic irony here. The audience understands the sacrilege, even as Pilkings remains oblivious. However, and this is important for your analysis, Soyinka does not present the colonial characters as simply evil. Jane Pilkings shows genuine concern and empathy. She tries to understand, but her understanding is limited by her cultural framework. Olunda, by contrast, has lived in both worlds and achieved a synthesis. His conversation with Jane in Act 4 is one of the play's most intellectually rich scenes. He speaks of a British captain who sacrificed himself to save his ship, an act that Jane dismisses as foolish, and Olunda uses it to explain that sacrifice for a greater good is a universal human value, not a primitive one. The third theme is tragedy and the tragic hero. Soyinka draws on both Western tragic conventions and Yoruba theatrical traditions. In Western tragedy, the tragic hero has a fatal flaw, a hamartia, that leads to their downfall. Ellison's hamartia is his love of life, his sensual nature, his attachment to the pleasures of the world. He's a man who has always been celebrated, always been given the best of everything, and at the crucial moment, he cannot let go. But Soyinka also draws on the Yoruba concept of tragedy, which is less about individual flaw and more about the disruption of cosmic order. The tragedy is not just Ellison's personal failure, it is the rupture of the world's balance. The fourth theme is honor and shame. Honor in this play is not merely personal pride, it is communal, ancestral, and cosmic. Ellison's honor is bound up with his role, his duty, his identity, as the king's horseman. When he fails, he does not just shame himself, he shames his ancestors, his community, and his son. The moment Olundi turns away from his father is one of the most powerful in the play. Olundi's silence speaks louder than any accusation. And Ellison's final act, strangling himself with his chains, is both a redemption and a recognition that it is too late. Now let's talk about Soyinka's dramatic techniques, because AO2, analysis of the writer's methods, is worth 40% of your marks. Language is central to this play. Soyinka uses a rich, poetic, heightened language for the Yoruba characters, particularly in the early acts, that is quite different from the more clipped, functional language of the colonial characters. This linguistic contrast is itself a dramatic technique. The Yoruba characters speak in metaphors, proverbs, and extended images. Ellison's Not I Bird speech is a tour de force of oral storytelling tradition. The praise singer's language is musical, rhythmic, incantatory. It mirrors the ritual function of his role. Contrast this with Pilkings, who speaks in short, practical sentences. He is a man of action, not reflection. His language reveals his inability to engage with the deeper dimensions of what is happening around him. Structure is also important. The play moves between two worlds, the Yoruba world and the colonial world, in alternating acts. This structural juxtaposition forces the audience to hold both perspectives simultaneously. We see the ritual from the inside, as sacred, meaningful, beautiful, and from the outside, as criminal, incomprehensible. Soyinka never lets us settle comfortably in one perspective. The use of music, dance, and ritual is also a key dramatic technique. The play incorporates Yoruba songs, drumming, and ceremonial dance. These are not decorative, they are integral to the meaning. The Igungun masquerade, the market women's songs, the praise singers' chants, all of these create an atmosphere of sacred ritual that makes Pilkings' intervention feel like a desecration. Now let's move to exam tips and common mistakes. The most common mistake candidates make is treating this play as simply a story about colonialism. Yes, colonialism is a major theme, but remember Soyinka's own warning. The real tragedy is Alesson's internal failure. If you only write about the British as villains and the Yoruba as victims, you will miss the play's deeper complexity. Examiners will credit candidates who acknowledge that Ellison bears responsibility for his own failure. The second common mistake is misrepresenting Yoruba culture. Do not describe the ritual death as suicide without qualification, and do not describe it as barbaric or primitive. These are Pilkings' words, not the play's perspective. Soyinka presents the ritual as a legitimate, sacred practice. Use neutral, respectful language in your analysis. The third mistake is feature spotting. Identifying a technique without explaining its effect. Don't just say Soyinka uses metaphor here. Say what the metaphor does, what it reveals about the character, what effect it creates for the audience, how it connects to the play's themes. For AO3, context, remember that Soyinka wrote this play in 1975 after Nigerian independence. He was writing from a post-colonial perspective, looking back at a moment of colonial interference. He was also drawing on his own Yoruba heritage. This context is relevant, but integrate it into your analysis. Don't bolt it on as a separate paragraph. Now, a quick-fire recall quiz. Pause the podcast and try to answer these before I give you the answers. Question 1. What is Ellison's role in the Yoruba community and why must he die? Question 2. What does Pilkings wear to the fancy dress ball and why is this significant? Question 3. What does Olundi do at the end of the play, and what does this represent? Question 4. Name two techniques Soyinka uses to contrast the Yoruba and colonial worlds. Question 5. What is Ayoloja's role in the play? Ready for the answers? Ellison is the king's horseman. His duty is to die by ritual suicide following the death of the Alafin, to guide the king's spirit into the afterlife and maintain cosmic balance. Pilkings wears an Igungun masquerade costume, a sacred Yoruba ceremonial outfit, as fancy dress, symbolizing colonial ignorance and disrespect for Yoruba culture. Olunde takes his own life, completing the ritual death his father failed to perform, representing the ultimate act of duty, honor, and sacrifice. Two techniques, contrasting language styles, poetic Yoruba versus clipped colonial English, an alternating structural juxtaposition between the two worlds. Ayoloja is the leader of the market women. She is the moral voice of the community, the guardian of tradition, and delivers the play's devastating final judgment on Ellison. And finally, a summary and sign-off, Death and the King's Horseman is a play about the weight of duty, the fragility of honor, and the devastating consequences of cultural misunderstanding. It is a tragedy in the fullest sense, not just because people die, but because the world is left out of balance. Soyinka challenges us to engage with a worldview that is not our own, to resist the easy judgments of colonialism, and to recognize that the real tragedy is internal. A man who knew his duty and at the crucial moment could not fulfill it. For your exam, remember, analyze language and technique for AO2, integrate context for AO3, and always maintain a clear conceptualized argument for AO1. Use precise quotations, explain their effects, and show that you understand the play's cultural and philosophical complexity. Good luck in your exam. You've got this.